Michael Smith, it's episode 84 of the Canes Cast, and you know what that means?
What's that?
In the words of Peter Mrazek, we're in.
We're in, we're in. Yes, yes, woo.
Yeah, pretty good.
In so many words.
The exact
words. The exact words, not the exact emotion. His emotion, I think we've seen all season, is on another level, and I enjoy it immensely.
So what exactly does that sentence mean for those of you who are tuning in? What Michael Smith just said, those were the words of Peter Mrazek when he was the first star, and the Canes found out that they clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 9 seasons. So would have been 10 had they missed this year. You can understand the emotion in Michael, without a doubt. That was the loudest, the Webs, Michael Smith, that I have heard this building, PNC Arena, in quite some time. I was sitting right next to Peter Mrazek, and there was a tough time for us to hear each other, and it was great. And great to see that emotion. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably have to go back 10 years to the day. Well, in the playoffs, of course, but 10 years to the day that the Hurricanes had last clinched a playoff berth, it probably hasn't been that loud since. I mean, the Hurricanes made a run and got close there in the spring of 2011, but came up just a game short of making the playoffs. It might have been loud then, but after the pregame, I guess, anticipation and build up to that, of course, that didn't live up to it. But the Hurricanes at home here on Thursday, April 4th, 10 years, 10 days to the day. Wow, that would have been impressive had they, you know, not been to the playoffs in just 10 days. But 10 years to the day that they had last clinched a playoff berth. That happened at home, too. That was against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Anton Babchuk with the overtime winner to send the Hurricanes to the postseason. This one, a little different in that the Hurricanes won the game, and just mere seconds before, Washington had defeated Montreal. So that was the perfect storm of everything working out. The Hurricanes getting that magic number of 4 and clinching their spot. If the Hurricanes had won and Montreal had won, they would have had to wait a day. Still would have been a bit celebratory mood here at PNC Arena, but wouldn't have been as cool to see because you saw the team celebrate their win. The out-of-town scoreboard pops up on the video board here. The players see it. The fans see it. Everyone's already going crazy, and then you just hear that decibel level pop up a bit, and that was really cool to see.
Yeah, it was. And again, long time coming. So now what does that mean? The playoffs return to Raleigh, and the Carolina Hurricanes, they see a familiar face, but the funny thing, the first time they will ever play the Washington Capitals, the defending Stanley Cup champions, in the postseason. They were Southeastern Division roommates for a long, long time. Never found the way to play each other in the postseason. Now we get there, and this is going to be some kind of series, Michael.
Yeah, it is. I think if you just take a cursory glance at it from the outside, all the pressure is obviously on the Washington Capitals, defending Stanley Cup champions. The Hurricanes made that really improbable run in the second half of the season to work their way back into the playoff mix to grab a wild card spot. They're obviously coming in as underdogs, but as we heard Justin Williams say today, they might be underdogs, you know, just looking at
the outside perception is they're the underdogs.
Correct.
And as he said, the Caps are the defending Stanley Cup champs.
But the Hurricanes are expecting to win. They have the belief that they can be victorious in the series. So internally, they don't see themselves as underdogs. And I think there's a lot to be said about just, you know, the way the team has approached these last 3 months. It has been a playoff mindset for them. The cliche of taking it one game at a time has been very true because they have just, they've taken the next game in front of them, worried about that, gotten the 2 points way more often than not, and then moved on to the next game. And that's kind of the mindset you have to have in this seven-game playoff series is just take it one game at a time. Take game one, get a victory, and then go into game two.
That's something else that Justin Williams said as he addressed the media on Monday, which was you have to be patient in a playoff series. You can't get frustrated because the team that gets frustrated, they start digging a hole, and it becomes harder and harder to crawl out of it. But if you look at the matchup on paper, all right, the Washington Capitals were 3 wins and an overtime win, so they were 4-0. The Canes were 0-3-1 against the Caps this year. But it's not like they got blown out of those games. The game that they lose in the extra session, they were up in the third period, and it got away from them. They were tied 1-1 the few weeks ago on Tuesday in Washington, D.C., and really we've already covered that here on the Canescast. What wasn't a well-played game by either team. And then the Caps just found a little bit more of their game in the third. They were up 2-1 the Thursday night, two nights afterwards, with a chance to close out the Caps, but the Caps got a quick strike from Jacob Verana, and then they're right back into it, and they get a big goal, and they find a way to win it. But it's not like the Canes were outplayed in all of these games against the Capitals this year. They were in them. They had an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for. And the best thing, and I am glad Justin Williams said it, I don't care that the Washington Capitals had Alex Ovechkin and he's scored 50 goals this year. I don't care that they have this guy, that guy, and that guy. Every number goes back to zero. The wins that you had in the regular season, they're gone. The points, the goals against, everything is reset. It is a new season. And then Rod Brindamore said it, the best team in a seven-game series wins this. And while Washington was better for a longer stretch than the Carolina Hurricanes, hence they won the Metro Division, the Canes have been one of the best teams since January 1st.
Yeah.
And this goes into the age-old, well, what would you rather be? Would you rather be hot going into the playoffs? Would you rather know that you were in? Once you get to the NHL playoffs, it's the one thing where there are no predictors. There's just nothing that I can look at and tell you, oh, I think that's the case. This is going to sound odd. Tampa, as great as they were all year, still got to prove it. Still have to do it. You said the pressure's on the Caps. I think the fact that they won last year, the pressure is not as intense on them heading into the series as it would be if they got beaten by Pittsburgh last year or had they not won the Stanley Cup. But the fact that they won it, I do think that there's something, you get that swag, you know how to win. Another thing that Rod Brindamore pointed out about what makes the Caps dangerous, they're comfortable in uncomfortable situations now, 1-1 games late, tight checking games. They're comfortable in all of that. So that makes them, to me, and it'll sound weird to a lot of people out there, more dangerous than the Tampa Bay Lightning, because the Lightning have all that immense pressure. Oh, yeah, this great season doesn't mean anything if we don't win. Caps have won, so they know what it takes to win. But if they're looking past Carolina and they're looking down the chute and they think that they're going to get the Pittsburgh Penguins and they're gearing up for that, anybody who tried to look past the Hurricanes since December 31st found out real quick that you're going to lose the game.
Yeah, the Hurricanes, since December 31st, they won 31 of their last 45 games. They earned 64 points in that stretch. It's the second most wins of any team since December 31st, and the third most points behind only the Blues and the Lightning. Everything that a team that's buried in that situation, and they were buried, they were 15-17-5 coming into that New Year's Eve game against Philadelphia. They were a few points from the bottom of the league. They were about 10 points out of a playoff spot. Things weren't going in the right direction. They had a pretty bad December that set them back. Jordan Staal was injured. It didn't seem like this team was going to be able to work out of that drought. But everything that teams in that situation say they have to do, the Hurricanes went out and did. They did just that time and time again. And every time you thought they might take a step back or look like they're running out of gas or stumble reverse a five-game winning streak with some sort of extended losing streak, every time you thought something like that might happen, they stopped it in its tracks. If they lost a game, if they stumbled in a game, they responded the next game. They only lost two consecutive games in regulation twice after that, during that little run. And that's exactly what they needed to do in order to put themselves in this position. And I think it sets them up nicely because they're used to being in this playoff type mode. Now, and we can get into maybe some storylines to follow. The one thing that is going to be tough to overcome, and you mentioned it, is the fact that the Washington Capitals they're battle tested. They figured out what they have to do to be successful last year, and so they know that now going into this year. Maybe it gives them, maybe it puts them, their confidence level a little too high. But at the same time, I think they can ground that, knowing that they're not going to take anybody too lightly. They know exactly what they have to do in order to win. They're comfortable, like you and both Rod Brindamore said, in playing their style of game because they know it wins. Now, for the Hurricanes, they know their style of game wins too, but it is a completely different animal once you get to the postseason.
Absolutely. I will use a phrase that Bob Cole, the longtime Hockey Night in Canada play-by-play voice who retired after a 50-year run. Good for you, Bob Cole.
Yeah.
But he said it in a playoff series. I wish I could remember the exact one, but a champion does not go out easy. And that is the concern that I have with the Capitals. Oh, yeah, they have an unbelievable lineup.
Right.
They really do. But for the, you know, when you go X factors and things you pick on, champs find a way when you think you got them cornered and you think you're going to knock them out. They find a way to come out swinging. So it's going to be a great series. Doing a deeper dive on that, what are the concerns that you have for the Canes heading into this, just from the Canes side? What are the things that you're looking at? Not looking at the Caps and what they do, just what the Canes do. We'll go back and forth. Just a couple of concerns that you and I have heading into this series.
Well, just off the top of my head, I think the fact that this team is so young and so inexperienced, that worries me a bit.
Yep.
Just because you don't know how they're going to react to how much the pace of play is going to jump up here in the playoffs. They can take lessons from guys like Justin Williams, who's played 140 games in the postseason. Jordan Staal, who's played 73 games in the postseason.
Justin Williams, 94 points in the playoffs. Jordan Staal has an unbelievable amount of clutch goals in the playoffs for his time in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, they've got two guys who they can lean on there.
Right, but you don't really know until you experience it. And so I think that's one concern for me, just because you just don't know how it's going to turn out. And maybe it's fine because this team has had to be in that do or die situation for so long that the playoffs are a different animal. And like Justin Williams was saying, in that you lose one game, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. You have to lose four. Yeah. You have to win four before the other team does.
Yeah.
So if you drop a game or two, you don't have to worry about anybody else but your opponent.
Yep.
And so maybe that plays into the Canes' favor, just because they have that mindset of it's just us versus them. It's not us versus all of these other teams trying to get to that point that we are.
I'm going to agree with you, because that is a concern. Mm-hmm. And we can sugarcoat this. And I want to tell you, well, you know, sometimes the great thing about being young, Michael, is you don't know. But the NHL playoffs get to another gear, and they get there quickly. You don't ease into a seven-game series. Pretty much when they drop the puck on Thursday night in D.C., it's go time. And the Caps are going to know the pace and the physicality, and I use that term, and how much tougher it gets to score goals and get to the places that you need to get to score goals and how to play that way. We'll find out how the young players for the Hurricanes deal with this. But, you know, Sebastian Aho's played in big games. He's played internationally in big games for Finland. Now, yes, that's a one-game tournament. It's different. But he still played in games where there's pressure for a guy who's never played in the playoffs. Justin Falk, he'll tell you it was a long time ago, and it was a one-game playoff. But he won a championship with Minnesota Duluth. So he
earned an at-large bid that year, too.
So, but he knows, you know, that pressure of things go to another notch when you get to a playoff. And while it is true the Hurricanes don't have this huge roster of experienced players who've all gone through this together, they've got a lot of guys who've been in the playoffs, Michael, and I think we kind of shine past that. It's not a huge cachet of games, but Teuvo Teravainen's been on a cup winner. Trevor Van Riemsdyk has been on a Stanley Cup winner when we're talking about guys who have been there and done that and have had playoff experience. Peter Mrazek was in Detroit when they were still thought to be a team that could go and win, so he knows the pressures of being there. So you have guys who've played and have played in playoff games and are able to get there. My concern, if going into this, comes into a few things for the Carolina Hurricanes on the blue line, and one of them is Calvin DeHaan. I would feel a lot better about the Hurricanes, and this is not – it turns into – like whenever you say this, it turns into like a slight at somebody else. I'd feel a lot better about the Hurricanes if Calvin DeHaan was healthy and good to go. And we talked to Rod Brindamore, and when I say we, the collective media, he didn't just tell us, he told everybody there, that he's hopeful, but he's not sure that Calvin DeHaan will be able to go and get into a few games, but he'd love it if he could. But right now, he's just not sure. I think I paraphrase that a little bit, but that's pretty close to
more
what he said.
More or less, yeah.
With that upper body situation. But the Canes' back six, when you have Dougie Hamilton and Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce and Justin Falk, and then Calvin DeHaan partnered up with Trevor Van Riemsdyk. That's really good. There's solid veterans. They all complement each other really well.
And so, Calvin DeHaan also with playoff experience in New York as well.
Yeah, that's something else I was going to add. Now you're plugging in either Hayden Fleury or Jake Bean, who got called up. And Jake Bean is kind of because, as Rod Brendamore mentioned again, injuries happen. So you got to have somebody ready to go. That's why Jake Bean's here. But you've got – those are young guys where you look at and you're like, you know, they play a position where you get on the ice in D.C. and here comes Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin. And now what? But Hayden Fleury's been good this year. But that's a small concern that I have right now that, you know, you go into this series and, you know, how much do you use a guy? How much do you overuse guys on your back end, because maybe you're not sure about all of your pairings heading into the series against a talented Caps team.
It's a valid concern, and the same concern could be said for the Capitals with Kempney being out. That's a huge loss for that team, because they were expecting, you know, he had formed a nice 1-2 pair there with John Carlson. So that's a big loss for them, just like Calvin DeHaan is a big loss for the Hurricanes. A week ago, if you had asked what one of my concerns, I would have said the power play, but that seems to not be a problem as of late. The Hurricanes have gone on a nice little run there with the man advantage, and they need that to continue in the playoffs, because everything calls aren't as frequent in the playoffs.
True.
Things are played a lot tighter, so when you get that opportunity, you have to be able to take advantage of it. So the Hurricanes are going to need their power play to come up big, and they're going to need their penalty kill, especially to keep an eye on that guy wearing the number 8 who parks at the top of the left circle and just lets clap bombs go.
You know what he's going to do.
Yes.
So,
and it's
and you know where he's going to be.
Because nobody can stop it. But just maybe, you know, keep an eye on him.
Don't.
Because the Capitals are going to get a power play. Ovechkin's going to be there. Just know it's coming and be mindful of that.
Well, I think we all know that. It's one of those things. It's one of the greatest mysteries to me to watch. We all know it's coming.
Yep.
We all know where he's going to be. They don't move him from side to side on the ice.
And he plays all happens. 2 minutes. Yeah. He's PP1, PP2. He might even be PP3.
I would imagine he is. So I'm not going to go there. There's another joke that was out there, but we'll just keep that to ourselves, Michael. But while you say that, the postseason, we always have to look for some kind of story as a year moves on. And if a team's not winning and the power play is bad, we're clearly going to point to that. But in the playoffs, it's this is going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and I don't want to. You can get by with a power play that's clicking at 10%.
Well, and the Hurricanes got by with not a great power play for the basically all of March.
But I'm going to go back to the power play in the postseason is what Rod Brendamore was trying to say about the power play in the regular season. It's not getting hung up on so much the percentage. It's when do you score the goals.
Yeah.
And the power play becomes a luxury in the playoffs. If you've got a great power play and you know that when you're going with a man advantage, probably going to score a goal, that puts the fear of the hockey gods in the other team. But it's one of those things where both penalty-killing units are going to be going after it, blocking shots, getting in the way of everything. You know, there is no tomorrow. Do what you have to do. It becomes harder to get pucks through. So I go back. It's a luxury. If the power play is clicking, you should be winning. But don't count on it, because the other team's power play might not be clicking either, the way that teams lock it down.
Yeah. So we've expressed some concerns from the Hurricanes side. Mm-hmm. Should we also look at some perhaps benefits for this team as we head into the playoffs? Do you have any that you'd like to single out here?
I've got a few, and I think it's the mentality of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the closest team that I have covered. And when I say that, does that necessarily mean that you have to be able to go in the locker room and sing Kumbaya and everybody likes each other and that means we win automatically? No, but for this team, it does matter. Because everybody knows what to expect of everybody. They hold everybody accountable to do their job, to do what they need to do. And that kind of closeness, that matters. In a tough game, when the going's tough, they're not going to turn on each other. This is going to be the team that pats everybody on the back. And there's no panic with them. You know, this is a team that this year, they fall down a goal, doesn't matter. The other day in Philadelphia to close out the regular season, where we could say it was a meaningless game, even though it wasn't, it would have been the difference. And at one point, the Canes could have been in third place and played the Islanders. And then at the other point, if they threw it away, they could have been the second wild card team, and they'd be playing Tampa Bay right now that we'd be talking about. But they go up 3-1 and then have just a bad period of hockey, and the Flyers come back in a nothing game for the Flyers. But then what do the Canes do? Found a way to win.
Yep.
And that, to me, that's a plus for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs, but all year, and you kind of chronicled it, they've found ways to win.
Right.
And they believe in each other right now. And you got to have that. You can't have this, oh, we're just happy to be here. They're not happy to be here. Their mentality is what I love heading into the postseason. And I got a few more things, but
yep.
that's the first thing that jumps off the page to me. They don't care what anybody outside of that locker room thinks of them. They know what they can do.
Yeah, playoffs, it's not the goal. It's a goal.
A goal.
It's
a step.
The first goal.
Yeah, it's a step.
A series of goals. They've accomplished that. They're not happy. They're not going to settle for just a berth. They're going to go out and, like they have all season, expect to win. And that's a great mentality to have. And it's going to be a mentality that if this team is going to be successful in the playoffs, that's going to be a big reason why. I'm excited to see what Sebastian Aho can do in the postseason. I think you could point to maybe his lack of – he hasn't scored a goal since March the 9th, I believe it was, in Nashville, and it was an empty net goal. But the Hurricanes have continued to win and continued to produce offense even without Sebastian Aho finding the back of the net. Now, in saying that, of course, he's been contributing offensively in terms of assists. He's been generating chances. He hasn't been a glaring defensive deficiency for the Hurricanes. And I think Rod Brindamore pointed that out today and just saying, you know, look, if – he's not producing goals. That's just one facet of the game for him. He's not going to go to him and ream him out if he's also producing chances and being fine defensively. And Sebastian Aho is. So I'm excited to see what he can do on this big stage. I think his emergence as a young star in this league, as the Hurricanes' first line center, has been something that we've chronicled all season long. And now he gets to add to that. Now he gets to really shine on what's going to be a national stage, and I think it's going to be a positive for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I agree. And on the other side, Sebastian Aho did say it too. He'd like to score goals, but there's other things that he can do to help the team win, and if they get the win, that's really all that matters.
Yep.
You know, getting points in other ways. I'm excited to see that, but along those lines, back to another positive, the Hurricanes have scoring balance now. They have, in particular, they've got two lines that I think can play playoff hockey at that level to score goals. Sebastian Aho, centering for Nino Niederreiter and Justin Williams. And then you've got Jordan Staal, centering for, I don't care if it's Andrei Svechnikov or Michael Ferland, but it looks like it might be Michael Ferland for right now. And then Teuvo Teravainen, and it's really the duo that's right there. But the funny thing is, I kind of like, and everybody's wanted Andrei Svechnikov to play up, to play up, to play up. I think the Canes are more dangerous because that Lucas Walmark, Jordan Martinuk combination, they become a dangerous offensive combination when Andrei Svechnikov is on that line. They do.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because Michael Ferland, I think, becomes more dangerous playing with Jordan Staal and Teuvo Teravainen. So I just kind of like the depth scoring that the Hurricanes have going into the playoffs. It's not one line. It's not one guy. They know it's got to be the collective, and they're starting to get it too. You know, Warren Fogle's been scoring big goals for this team the last 2 weeks of the regular season. They've gotten those chip-in contributions. And the blue line scoring too, Dougie Hamilton, has been outstanding. So to me, it's the offense comes from everywhere. And you can make the case that Dougie Hamilton, offensively, and I think his defense has been very good, but offensively has been the best defenseman in the NHL since January 1st.
Yeah.
The numbers kind of bear that one out,
yeah,
too.
Really, since, I mean, by the numbers, the start of last season.
Yeah.
Totaling up the goals. I'm excited to see playoff Jordan Staal.
So
I mean, that's a big man who commands the ice, who dominates play, wins faceoffs, and he was brilliant down the stretch of the regular season after returning from concussion, post-concussion syndromes and all of that. And now for the first time in, what, 7 years,
yeah,
he gets back into the postseason. And he's somebody I think who can take over a game in the playoffs for the Hurricanes. And I'm excited to see that play out on the ice.
Can I be real?
Be real.
Can I be real?
Be real, real.
How did anybody think that his addition into the lineup was going to hurt this team? How? This is where I go and lose my mind on things. I understand there are numbers, there are metrics, there are this, there is that. There's even the hard fact that you could take a look. Well, the previous years with Jordan Staal on the lineup, the team doesn't do this. But when you start pulling these things and say, oh, I'm not sure, how does adding a 6'4", 225-pound center who wins more than 50% of his draws, how is that a bad thing? And then, folks, this is why I hate all these numbers and things, because you look at these things as just data, and you don't look at these things as what they are, people. These are people who play these games. And Jordan Staal, last year, went through an awful lot. This year, had a concussion, tried to come back and play. And we can't pinpoint the exact day when he had the concussion, but I can promise you he played a couple of games where he wasn't feeling right.
Yep.
And he might have been a dash, or he might not have made this play, or he might not have done that. And then you can run back. They're people who play these games. It's not just numbers on a sheet. How would you like it if you went into your job and somebody from the outside doesn't know you, the person, doesn't know what you went through in your day or your month or your year, and they just look at your performance and go, oh, well, I've made the Smitty here, the Smithwick, which is a version of you're now 19%. There's somebody better than you. No. You add a guy like that to your team, it makes you better. It just does. And it makes you better in a whole lot of reasons. Not just on the ice, off it too. Because there's not a guy in that locker room who doesn't respect the living heck. Almost went to a different spot.
Almost.
Thank you. Well,
you caught
it. 2 weeks in a row, I figure I might want to walk down that line for you, who doesn't respect him.
Yeah.
And know what he can do. And I'm with you, Michael. I'm excited to see him in playoff hockey. You know who's not excited to see him in playoff hockey? Nick Backstrom.
Yeah. The Capitals at large.
Yeah. Evgeny Kuznetsov. They're not excited to see him in the postseason, because he is going to wear them out. Into those same lines, I'm excited to see Justin Williams in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the only Game 7 he did not win in his entire postseason career was with the Washington Capitals. So guess what? He's not with the Capitals anymore. So if it goes to a Game 7, I feel confident.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I agree.
I'm just saying.
Hey, the stats add up. Yeah,
but those are two players, Michael, and that's why I went on that rant. Thank you for letting me be real.
No, that's, you know.
But those are two players. They're not the fastest. You know,
no.
They're not. They're not going to be in the Hart Trophy conversation. They're not going to be, you know, are either of them Hall of Famers? Can make a case for Justin Williams? I think he can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where, is it surefire? But those are two guys that you got to have on your team to win.
Yeah.
Makes you better.
And the Hurricanes have them. And that's those two guys are two guys that, should the Hurricanes beat the Capitals in the first round, those two guys, I think, are going to play a huge role in that.
Their fingerprints will be all over it.
Yeah.
And too much? Was that too much? Just enough to push that?
Just enough.
Okay, just enough.
Yeah.
I want to make sure. All right. I think we need to. Speaking of things that some people think that it's too much, but I think it's just enough.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Thank you, Will Ferrell.
Do you got one?
No.
Okay. Well,
not yet, at least.
We have one via Twitter that we'll get to.
Wonderful.
But I have one for you.
Okay.
This series is going the full freight. It's going 7 games.
I'm going to send that back.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to cap it at 6.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to cap it at 6.
Okay.
No pun intended with cap at 6.
I don't think you were, and I wasn't following either. So.
I'll say 6. I'm not going to, land on one side of the aisle or another, but I think the series gets decided in 6 games. I take it you believe the series will be decided in 7 games, or were you just floating it out there?
I'm putting it out there. I just wanted to see where you were at.
All
so,
right.
But I do have the...
And that means there will be 3 home games to be played here at PNC Arena.
I do have the this or that. If it's over in 6, the Canes win it. If it goes to 7, all bets are off.
Okay. It's It's interesting.
So
yeah,
because I think if it's over in six, the Canes win. They split the first two games in D.C. They win both games in this building. I told you it's hard to knock out a champion. Caps find a way to win game five, comes back for game six, sayonara.
Mm-hmm.
Second round, here we come.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Also, I'm not going to ask you what's the most important game in the series. Every game's the most important game in a series.
Yeah.
When people are like, oh, it's game one. Well, no.
Well, it's like what we've said for the last 3 months. The most important game is the next one.
Exactly. Because when people say it's game one, well, then if you come back, if the loser wins game two, well, now that nullifies game one.
Yeah.
Then if you win game three, well,
I mean, just look back at the Hurricanes in 06, lose the first two games at home, and then win game three in overtime, and 2 months later, the Stanley Cups building.
How about the team the Canes are playing this year?
Correct.
Last
year, same exact situation.
Lost the first two games to the Columbus Blue Jackets at home.
Won game three in overtime in Columbus, and then 2 months later,
won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
So, but
anything can happen. It's just so... it's so unpredictable. It's the second season because everything resets to zero, and you start fresh.
It's glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
It is, and I'm glad we are finally being able to talk about it because it has been, it's been too long. It's what we've done. What, two seasons of this podcast, and we finally have playoffs to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely
awesome.
All right, this one. I don't know if you're going to use this, but using the hashtag CanesCast and the hashtag, if you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it back.
That's a long hashtag.
I know. This is from Caneshead.
My wife. I'll take it, obviously.
You're married.
Well,
what are you?
I will take my wife.
Oh.
My wife.
I'll send back his wife.
Yeah,
he's offering. Yeah, because I don't know if that was being offered here. Is this the HBO show Big Love? What's going on?
I don't know.
I'm a little confused.
It's a family-friendly podcast.
Let's take this. Cane's Head, I'm sure your wife is lovely. Send it back. I'm happily married.
Yeah. I'll take my wife and send back
his wife.
Correct.
But, so what you're doing is you're taking... No, that's your wife.
Yes.
Okay. Are you happy?
I think... Did we get there?
Somehow. We're sending back his wife.
Correct.
We're keeping our wife.
Yeah. Is that mine? I think that was mine.
And you're quite happy with.
Correct.
Wait a minute. We got to phrase this because when you hear that.
I am happy with. Yes.
And I am happy with.
Perfect.
All right.
That's going to be a lot of editing and post.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
A lot of people who are going to be like, and Bill Bernstein got this right. Away we go. So do you have one after all of that, after all this thinking?
No.
Okay, didn't think so. We have questions, though.
Okay.
And we've got lots of them to get to. If you are ready, Mr. Smith.
Hit me.
Actually, this one's directed for me.
Oh,
from,
just for you?
From Philip Hetzler.
Wow, Philip, there are two people who do this podcast, you know.
Well, at Mike Maniscalco.
Okay.
How did it feel to tell Rod we made the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I guess I wasn't there, so... that makes sense.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to find a better person than Rod Brindamore. You're just not. And I think he should be up for the Jack Adams. If there was an award show that Michael Smith and I hosted, he would be nominated for Coach of the Year because of what he did with his team. He got every drop out of this team. And it was fun to watch. And to tell somebody who's that good of a person that they did something extraordinary and qualifying for the playoffs is extraordinary, it feels pretty good.
He should definitely be a finalist for the Jack Adams. It's crazy to think he probably won't even be a finalist for the Jack Adams. I think we laid it out the other day. Yeah. I think the finalists for the Jack Adams are probably John Cooper, Barry Trotz, and Bill Peters?
No, I think I'm going to eliminate Bill Peters from that.
Okay.
And put Craig Berube from St. Louis. Because when he took over the St. Louis Blues,
they were
a bloated body floating in the ocean.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted part of it. And they almost won the division. So yeah. Sorry, Bill Peters. You only get one from the West.
I mean, if you make that argument for Craig Berube, then Rod Brindamore.
I know.
Because they were in... essentially the exact same positions.
See, the guy who throws this off is John Cooper.
Right. He's going to win it. Like, that. You can't... The Lightning are... when you have a team that talented, that skilled, that ties the most wins in the NHL ever, you can't not give it to that coach. You can't say, well, John Cooper, sorry, your team's too
just
good.
Just too talented, exactly.
You know, he still has to bring them together and have them accomplish that goal. And he did that. And when they had the league wrapped up on January 1st,
yeah,
he didn't just let them mail it in. They kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Even when they secured the President's Trophy in mid-March or whatever foolish thing it was, they didn't let off the gas at all. They kept pushing. They tied that wins record that the Detroit Red Wings from, what, 95-96 at 62 wins. So you can't – no one – he's going to win the Jack Adams, John Cooper, obviously. He deserves it. Nikita Kucherov's going to win the Hart because he deserves it as well. But I do think you can make an argument for Rod Brind'Amour being at least a finalist for the trophy, because what he did with a team that had the lowest payroll – in the NHL, that was completely, almost completely out of it at the end of 2018, the end of the calendar year 2018, he got them to just keep believing in what they were doing, even when the results said otherwise. He got them to keep believing, and now they're in the playoffs because of it. And I think because of that, he deserves at least consideration.
I agree.
But I don't know if he'll even get a finalist.
But that's why I say, like, John Cooper throws it off, because if the Lightning would have just had a good year, you know what I mean, or a great year, not a historically great year chasing history, you could say, sorry, John Cooper, you had a really talented team and you got 107 points.
Which is kind of what happened last year.
Atlantic. Exactly. And then that opens it up. But I think that you have to look at, for me, my three finalists, when you talk about the coaching jobs, Barry Trotz does what Barry Trotz does. But the Island was such a tough situation. You go in, they lose John Tavares, and you're like, what are they going to do? And they found a way to – they were leading the division for a good majority of the year.
Nearly won the division.
So you got to give Trotz kudos for taking that team over and turning it around and doing what he did. You got to give it to Rod Brind'Amour because of what Michael Smith just said. And then, you know, Craig Berube walked into St. Louis and did a really good job and did all this, but that was something where maybe they just needed a different voice. So it's got to be John Cooper. Those are my three. And I know it's not going to be that, but those are my three.
Yeah, there's going to be at least one from the West. And I think
who I think it's going to be versus who I think it should be are two different things.
Right. And I think it is going to be probably Bill Peters from the West if there is somebody.
I don't know. Berube would be the guy who, because if you take a look, you said payrolls. What, Calgary had the fourth highest payroll coming
in
this
season?
They
were up there.
And good team. And look, Bill clinched the West with them. So he deserves kudos and accolades for what he's done. But Craig Berube took a team that was done and almost got them to win the Central that has, for everybody's dollars, Nashville and Winnipeg, two of the better teams in the league, not just the Western Conference. This comes in from Micah Patchen. Hopefully it's Micah. Do you think that Ferland and Tom Wilson will drop the gloves this series? And then he sends four pairs of eyeballs at us.
Mm. He's watching us
and I think
on the video portion of the podcast.
Where is it? Because now we get people who want to be the interns for the video portion of the podcast. Are you going to run that department?
No.
Fine. All right. Are you going to answer the question?
Yeah.
Kind of got quiet on me there.
I want to say yes, but I'm leaning no.
Fights generally don't happen in the playoffs anymore, but this could be something where give me some leeway here.
Okay.
Tom Wilson does Tom Wilson things.
Mm-hmm.
And a game later, Tom Wilson and Michael Ferland will have a discussion about that.
Yeah.
So
it could happen.
I will lean towards yeah. I think that we'll see. I'm leaning it is more likely to happen than not.
Yeah, I think you know, if there's ever a chance of it happening, this is it.
Yeah.
I think.
All right. This from Owen Anderson. Who's the biggest X factor heading into the first round for the Canes? might be Michael Ferland. Might be. The way he plays, physical nature. Ask the Vancouver Canucks about the playoff series that he got in where he hit everything that was wearing a Canucks sweater and really turned the tide of that. But I might go with his former Calgary teammate, current Hurricane teammate, Dougie Hamilton.
Jacob Slavin, even.
I
mean, he's not going to be...
I expect Jacob Slavin to do what he does all the time, so he's not an X factor to me.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Sebastian Aho because he hasn't been a factor lately, but again, you just sort of expect...
A guy who's better than a point-per-game player, though, in the league. I get it. But for me, it's the guys who the Canes acquired from Calgary. You can take your pick, Michael Ferland or Dougie Hamilton. I will lean more towards Dougie Hamilton because you get a defenseman who can start pumping in goals in the playoffs. Good times.
Jordan Martinuk could be one of those guys, too. A guy that just finds the and starts shooting 25% for whatever reason, gets hot, brings the energy. He could be that guy as well.
I like that. Those are all good. This comes in from Carolyn Christians. Please share with as much specificity as you can how daily coaching sessions and team practices will transition from regular to postseason, or help us be part of it.
Well, there was an off day on Sunday, and then...
They came in today.
Today they did some video.
Well, they had...
Breakfast first.
Breakfast
yes,
at about 9:45. I saw
breakfast
omelet stations there.
The most important meal of the day.
That's true.
I don't eat it, though.
Why not?
I have coffee.
I didn't eat breakfast today either.
Yeah. I haven't even had lunch yet.
Neither have I.
Probably have lunch
we'll
soon.
Work on that.
But then they did video.
But then they do video. They go over their opponent. They look at some of the tendencies. They look to see what could be a perceived weakness.
Head-to-head clips.
They look at some good things that they've done.
And luckily for the Hurricanes, they have head-to-head clips from just 2 weeks ago. So your teams, those two meetings they had back in December, a lot's changed since then.
You'll then have a little bit more meetings in the specialty teams groups. You'll have the power play, and then the penalty killers meet with their respective coaches and go over video and go over a few things. Rod Brindamore doesn't like to do a lot of video. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have practice on
Tuesday and Wednesday,
the days before the games. But I'll also summarize this. They're not going to change much. It'll be almost the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
regular season.
You
don't want to change what you've done right now.
A lot of the teaching happens in training camp. That's when the groundwork for everything is laid. From then, it's tweaking things that maybe the team got away from or just adding a wrinkle or two to, you know, something they've already been doing. It's not – you're not really fundamentally changing anything.
No.
And a lot of teams do the same thing. So that's the other thing about it. But in this situation, when you're talking about pre-scouting –
if you're talking about daily coaching, nothing changes. It's the same team. If anything, it gets easier. Because coaches will tell you that. It's easier. We know who we're playing. We just show this clip and away we go.
You know who you're playing for the next 2 weeks. And then once game one is finished, you can pull clips from game one in preparation of game two. It's almost like having back-to-backs repeatedly.
Yeah, it's like what the Canes just did, where they played on Tuesday and Thursday 2 weeks ago against the Caps. You take things that you see from the game before and you see how we can put this together.
And practices aren't going to be too taxing as they've been down the stretch of the season. You want the guys to conserve that energy. And this extra day, you know, the fact that the Hurricanes aren't starting on Wednesday, they're starting on Thursday, I think allowed the team to take an extra day off the ice today, because otherwise I think you would have seen the Hurricanes practice today. Should have game one had been Wednesday, but now it's Thursday, so you do some off-ice video work and give the guys an extra day to rest their legs. Now, I don't know who that favors more, if it favors any team at all, the gap in between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs. The Hurricanes didn't handle bigger gaps in their schedule well during the regular season. I don't know if that's a concern at all. It might not be, just because it's playoffs, everything changes, but it's something that's bounced around in my head in the last day or two.
But grand scheme, and it's a good question, Carolyn, it is, but in the grand scheme, not much changes.
Yeah. It's just it's preparation.
It's just you're focusing on aspects of one team that maybe you wouldn't get as specific about if you were just going to play them on a Tuesday night and then you're off to New Jersey the next night.
Yeah.
You're going to focus in more on, you know, right-handed defenseman doesn't go to this side to X. Trust me, they're looking at all of that. But that's what these 3 days are for. But once you get into the series, it's what Michael just said. A couple more. Kate Merrill asks, how many games do you think it will take the Canes to beat Washington? I gave you my answer, 6.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick to my answer of 6. I think the series ends in 6.
That works for me. This from Caleb Grogler. Provided that the game goes to 7 games or series, we're good. How many games do you see Mrazek McElhaney starting?
Look, I think, and I've said this for a couple of weeks, I think Peter Mrazek is the game one starter. And in the playoffs, I don't think you can platoon as much as the Hurricanes did down the regular season.
You won't switch from game to game unless something happens.
As long as Mrazek plays well, he's going to be the goalie, I think. Now, you know, we might be totally surprised and see something different. That's what I think, based on what we've seen down the stretch of the regular season.
Yep.
Mrazek's the game one starter, and then it's up to him from there.
Karen asks basically the same thing. Which goalie do you think they go with, or will they keep doing the starts like they have all season? No, I think they're going to go with Peter Mrazek.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
And again, they'll go with Peter Mrazek until they see something where they think, well, maybe we need to go with Curtis McElhaney.
Right. So. And that could be something as simple as the series not going well in the first 2 games and just wanting to get a different look. Goaltending in playoffs is very interesting because a simple switch could change the entire tide of the future of things. And the Hurricanes were only one of 2 teams this year that did not make an in-game goaltending switch, one of my favorite obscure stats from this season. Them and the Tampa Bay Lightning because, of course, you know, clearly they 62 victories.
And by the way, the Lightning got beat 7-1 this year.
And the Hurricanes got beat 8-1.
Yeah.
So it just so happened that that was on the front half of a back-to-back, so the change wouldn't have been made. Otherwise, the Tampa Bay Lightning are probably the only team that doesn't have that stat to their name. First time in franchise history it's happened.
Yeah. You love that.
Just an interesting one.
Right.
You just don't see it because you always have that odd game or two during the season, and it just didn't happen.
This from John Herring. Now, seeing I put out tweets with terrible grammar and misspellings all the time, I'm going to try to paraphrase here. He's asking about Sebastian Aho's health.
Yep.
So, John, don't worry about the front end of that question you asked. I feel like he's been MIA since he collided with Nino many games ago. Well, what did Sebastian tell us today, Michael Smith, and today, Monday, by the time you hear this podcast?
He says, I feel good.
There you
go. I think he said that in so many words.
Good.
Yeah, he definitely was feeling the after effects of that friendly fire collision for a couple games after that. But, he's feeling
good.
All good now.
He said good.
Yep.
So we'll go with that. This comes in from Sam for Canes. Not one NHL writer picked the Hurricanes to move past the first round. Do you think that this will be just one more motivating factor for this team to win against the Caps?
No.
I'd like to tell you, but it doesn't matter to them.
This team doesn't
care.
Yeah.
They don't give a rat's
behind.
Patoot.
Yeah, there's probably somebody out there that's going to pick the Hurricanes.
Oh, trust me, they'll know.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's going to be, we're going to show them. No, that's
– yeah.
They know what they need
to
do.
It was kind of the same thing with the bunch of jerks things. Like, the team didn't rally around that. The fans did.
Yes.
And the organization as a whole embraced it. But it's not like the team, the group inside the locker room, you know, said, oh, look at – you know.
Yeah.
We're
going to show him. Yeah. No, there's
that just came of
– organically.
Yes. Yeah.
I knew what you were looking for, buddy. Well, I had you.
It grew because of what the Hurricanes were doing. They didn't rally around it like some people believe they might have.
It caught fire because of how well they were playing and the wins that were coming and the celebrations that were coming because of that. This comes from Paul UK 86. I've been a Canes fan since Skinner's rookie year. I'm also the manager of the British Royal Navy ice hockey team. I brought my guys over a couple of weeks ago. Hello, Paul. Saw you guys. I am flying back Sunday for some playoff hockey, but I was wondering where should I head in Raleigh when I'm not at PNC Arena? Best places to eat, best sights to see, question mark. So, Bill Burniston, thanks for listening to episode 84 of the Canes Cast. Let's get to it.
Well, first, you might want to bring a mask and avoid the pollen.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
It's out in full force right now.
Yeah, my car is yellow.
Yes, everybody's car has received new paint jobs over the weekend, whether they wanted or not.
No, they're terrible paint jobs. Yeah. Earl Scheib is not painting this car for $9.95.
So that's the first thing you have to look forward to. Your sinuses will thank you for that at a later date.
Well, he might not have any allergies to this crud.
Yet.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
You're a positive guy, and you come out with that one.
I'm just saying. I can't wait to, is there pollen in D.C.? There might be.
Yeah.
Cherry blossoms are out this time of year.
Yeah, we're going to be covered in that stuff.
So we'll see.
All right, three places to eat. Go.
Three? Just
three. You give three, and I'll give three.
Oh, goodness. Well, all right. If you haven't been to the Pit, you go to the Pit for
barbecue. You go to the Pit, and you tell our good friend Melanie hello from The Web's Michael Smith and TV's Mike Maniscalco.
Yes.
That's Melanie Dunia, who should have won her episode of Chopped. I went back. It was on the other night. Went back. She got just judges.
She got
I don't want to hear those. I don't want to hear those judges anymore.
You know, those shows are always
barbs. Whatever.
She makes really good barbecue.
Yes.
So good go to the Pit.
Yes, I agree.
Get some barbecue.
Agreed.
Pools has delicious macaroni and cheese.
The baked mac and cheese.
If you're in the mood for some mac and cheese,
if you're downtown, but you also there's no menu. You have to read it off of the chalkboards.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's there.
Both downtown spots that I've mentioned, I feel like I should venture out.
You do what you got to do, buddy.
These
are your spots.
Yeah, if you're in the mood, I'll venture up north Raleigh. If you're in the mood for some Mexican type Baja California salt and lime, Cabo Grill is fantastic.
That's good.
Some of the best salsa, you know, chips and dip. Salsa that you get at these types of restaurants that you'll find. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yep.
All right. If you want lunch and you want a sandwich, Linus and Peppers downtown. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I've not been there for great things. We need to go.
It's true. I've been. I haven't been to Salt and Lime. So you and I can cross a couple of things off. Linus and Peppers downtown. You want to do that? Jay Betsky's, which is my favorite restaurant in Raleigh. Go there and say hi to John. From me. Smitty can attest that if you show up with me, good things happen. So if you're looking for somebody to go out to dinner with, mate, hey, he's from the UK. They say mate, right?
Yeah, I followed.
Okay, I wasn't sure. And then I'm with you. I'm like, I feel like we should branch out, but at the same time...
I mean, because I could toss out a few other downtown restaurants.
Yeah, we can toss out a few other downtown restaurants.
I mean, you could say Angus Barn if you're looking for a
steak. If you want great steak... it's an institution. You could definitely go there. There are places in Chapel Hill that recommend. You know,
I think we should
probably Durham
stick to Raleigh.
Just Raleigh?
Yeah. Because then, you open up a whole can of worms. Yeah.
I thought you would say
To Worms. You went to
Aladdin.
Disney movies.
Yeah. Okay. Not opening up. We're talking about food. I don't want to talk about that. And let's just think here. If we're going to tell you where you're gonna go and have just like a good, because I'm trying to think like, do we do breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Like, do it because, you know, there's Pam's Farmhouse for breakfast if you want to wake up and go do a breakfast and be all set.
Relish off Creedmoor Road also does a really good brunch. They have a nice pepper jelly with the chicken biscuit. That's really good. Beasley's downtown also does a good brunch.
Beasley's does a good brunch.
A lot of good brunch spots in Raleigh.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You can find a ton of good places to go for brunch. Humble Pie, good place for brunch if you're looking for that. So there you go.
Brewery Bavana downtown for dinner.
And then, of course, near the arena, there's Bella Monica for Italian. Can't go wrong with that. You want a post-game snack, you can go to Buffalo Brothers. Oh, man. I want wings. Or Rodino's. And go catch the game. Those are all places you can go check out. So I think we've hit everything there.
I think we did.
So Yeah. Oh, we also forgot Guasaca for lunch.
Tasty.
Have you been?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then Chubby's Tacos.
And I was going to say.
And Randy's is right there.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered them all.
Good little spot. They're good places to eat here.
Sites, if you got the time, seriously, go wander wander in Durham for the Duke Gardens. Go check out the campus. I know Michael Smith would never go there being a Tar Heel. He would recommend you going to Chapel Hill, and that's
also
a lot
beautiful.
Of good spots in Chapel Hill. Downtown Raleigh, Hillsboro, check out NC State's campus. Easy to walk around. Lots of good stuff you can see there. So
yes.
There you go. We'll get you covered there. This from Andrew Clark. Which team would you pick to make the final out of the West?
That's an interesting one because the West was kind of wild this year.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I kind of want to pick Vegas again because I feel like they got better at the trade deadline.
At Vegas, San Jose series. San Jose has not been good down the stretch,
I know.
But sometimes that doesn't matter. I just know that series is going to be great. West Coast hockey, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to be watching that stuff.
I'll just,
You're going to pick Vegas?
You
can pick Vegas.
I'll pick Vegas. Why not? Back to back.
I'm going to pick Winnipeg. I picked them last year. I'm going to pick them again this year.
They've got who in the first round?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
But, yeah, I'm going to go Winnipeg. I'm going to go Winnipeg. I just like their team. I like a lot of talent, big,
Nashville's
fast.
Also a team you could put in the mix.
If the four teams that I would pick Nashville. I'd pick Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, San Jose. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Not even Calgary.
I'm not putting Calgary in there.
West.
I'm not.
They get Colorado first up.
Yeah.
I think they get out of the first round, no problem.
Yeah, they should.
And then they'll have to match up with whoever wins the Vegas.
Let me scratch that. I'll put Calgary in front of San Jose right now.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, but San Jose is 5.
Okay. Because Calgary will match up with whoever wins that Vegas-San Jose series.
Yes.
Vegas-Calgary is going to be a pretty good series
yes.
if it comes to that.
Yeah, so, and Nashville-Winnipeg is going to be a great series
again,
if we get that again.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's it as far as the questions go, Mr. Smith, unless there's something out there that you found.
I don't think so. I think you pretty much covered us.
That's what I was trying to do, my friend.
Can check the hashtag real quick to make just a general thank you to everybody who sends in questions. Who listens each and every week, and always love getting the shout outs. You know, when we pass people, hey, love the podcast, 5 stars, best friends. Always appreciate the feedback, knowing that you guys listen.
We go to dinner if we're 5-star friends.
Okay,
I've got a lot of people who tell me that. So.
All right,
I didn't say we're paying for it, Michael. I just said we'll go to dinner.
We'll have at least a nice discussion out at dinner. I think you nailed all the questions.
Okay.
One quick one from Ed Watson Bryant.
Oh.
He asked if we'll see the return of the Mikeys. Obviously, it didn't happen on the broadcast, but we'll save it for after the season concludes.
It'll be a podcast only.
Podcast only. The Mikeys.
A tradition. Unlike any others.
Unlike any other. And
by the way,
we would have got to do it again in Philadelphia.
My stage manager in Philly.
She was already?
She got a manicure for it.
Oh.
She was ready to go. She's the hand that hands us the envelopes.
Wow.
She was very upset.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to do.
I know.
All right. But
maybe next year.
You know
but
what
this year we'll do it on the podcast.
You know what I am excited about, though?
What's that?
Playoff hockey, my friend.
Oh, it has been. You've covered this team for a long time.
Yes.
When was your first year covering, like, just being in the market covering the team?
The 2007-2008 season, so 2 years after they'd won the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Cup in 2005-06, then 2007-08, 2006-07 they missed. 2007-08 they basically led every single day of the Southeast Division until the last day.
That's what I was going to say, and lost to Florida, right?
And lost to Florida, and then Florida went and got just hammered by the Washington Capitals, and it started this Washington Capitals run because they went into the playoffs after that. But then 2008-09, I was here for that playoff series, different role, but I was here for that playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's amazing. It's the best.
I was
Justin Williams said it the other day. There is nothing better than playoff hockey. Yeah, there's nothing like it.
We can talk about it. You can fantasize about it. But until you see it, until you experience it, and I haven't had a chance to experience it.
Have you fantasized about it, though?
Well, I mean, I've seen, as a fan, I've seen it, and I've watched it from afar as an employee of this team watching other teams play. I was an intern in 2010-11, the year that the Tampa Bay Lightning and some guy named Mike Smith prevented the Hurricanes from getting into the playoffs there on the last day of the season. What a terrible name that is.
Why would someone with that name do that to
awful
this franchise?
Human being. And then, you know, obviously in every
why
year
didn't
since,
you just sneak in the third period and say, I'm Mike Smith, I'll play goal.
Well, there was a bit of a height discrepancy, and I wasn't able to
he gave us
fool
that.
Him. And then full-time in 2011 and ever since, and so it's finally good to be able to cover playoff hockey.
Get weight.
That's how excited we are. We
get
can't
ready.
Even talk.
Get ready. Can't wait. I've been brutal today.
Get weight. So that's going to be the title of this episode.
I've got weight. Don't worry. You can take as much of that as you need. Can't wait. Get ready.
Can't wait. Get ready. The old Bart Scott. Can't wait.
Folks, you've earned it. You've deserved this. So just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
No matter where it goes, it's awesome. Period.
It has been a blast of a season, and whatever happens from here is going to be enjoyable.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave this, because guess what? Episode 85 of Canes Cast, we'll be talking playoffs, my friend.
Yeah, when should we do that? Because Game 3 is Monday, so maybe we should.
We'll do it on Tuesday.
Do it on Tuesday.
We'll have the first three games of the postseason set.
Okay.
In lieu of, because there'll be 2 days off in between.
Yes, there will be.
So we'll do that on a Tuesday, getting you ready for game four.
So let's plan on that. If you have questions between now and next Tuesday, you know the drill.
Will. Yeah.
Hashtag CanesCast. Subscribe if you aren't already, so you don't miss that episode next week. Leave us a review on iTunes. Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, best friends.
4 stars, still really good friends. We're hanging out. Probably going to go to parties together. 3 stars, you know,
might
we'll
text
say hi.
You back.
We'll say hi.
Yeah.
You know, if you text, we'll text back.
Just once.
Yeah, 2 stars, whatever, you tried. But probably not returning your phone call. 1 star, really, why?
Yeah, you're dead to us.
I mean, just.
You're dead to me.
Just mean. It's just mean.
Just mean. You can tweet at us.
Now, you know what? I'm starting to jump on board with your thought on the 1 star.
Yeah. Dead to us.
See, I used to be like, no. If you're going to go out of your way for just 1 star.
You could just tweet at us.
We don't care.
Tweet us a 1 star and tell us how we can improve.
No, don't even do that.
Do that either.
Much like the Carolina Hurricanes. Don't care. Don't care that you didn't pick us to win the series. 4 stars, if you've got some, you know, positive feedback. Some constructive criticism. We listen to that.
Always
one star. 1 star. You don't believe in what's going on in this locker room. We don't need you here.
Perfect.
That's fair?
Yeah, that's
always,
fair.
Always a pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure talking with you, and hopefully a pleasure for all the listeners out there consuming this in their ears.
Thank you. We couldn't do it without you, and now we get to bring you real-life playoff editions of the Canes Cast. So for the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you.
You can see on TV, Fox Sports Carolina's.
Oh, I feel like we should add this. Folks, the first round of the playoffs is on Fox Sports Carolina's. Most unless time. It's a nationally exclusive game.
Which is game three.
Saturday.
Excuse me, game two.
Thank you. Saturday, game two at 3 o'clock. That's where you had the 3 in your brain.
Is on NBC.
Is on NBC. So if it is on NBC, the national exclusive game, it's not on Fox. But every other game is scheduled to be on Fox. So when you're sitting there going, but it says it's on CNBC, it will be on Fox Sports Carolinas.
Yeah.
Unless it is the national exclusive game. Good catch right there, Michael Smith.
Yep. Shane Willis will be joining you for the pregame show on the road.
Sure.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
So John and Tripp in the booth, yep. As always.
As always.
Can't wait.
And our great crew.
Love it.
There you have it. So that'll do it for this edition. We'll talk to you next Tuesday for The Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you with episode 85 coming up with some more playoff hockey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.